Turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to go to chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And I am going to start reading at verse number 14. Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. 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 Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. I'm going to read verses 14 through 17. God's word says this. Then John's disciples came and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, my prayer here this morning is that the words of your scriptures fall upon our hearts. They change our hearts and transform our hearts. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord. I hide behind a cross, and I just want to say the things that are beneficial to all of us in here this morning that lead us to a path that makes us a little more Christ-like. To you be the praise and glory for all this. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, today we are going to start a new sermon series. And the sermon series is going to be on the parables of Jesus. There are about 40 parables of Jesus recorded in the Bible. These parables are found in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There are 7 parables that are recorded in all 3 of the Gospels. And there are no parables recorded in the Gospel of John. So what is a parable? A parable is an analogy, often cast in the form of a story. Let me say that again. A parable is an analogy, often cast in the form of a story. So why did Jesus speak in parables? Well, from a listener standpoint, if you were listening to a parable, it would be easy for people like us to relate to the stories that he was telling. The crowd understood at that time, understood about sowers and seeds and weeds and yeast and flour and nets. So Jesus used just ordinary things to convey spiritual truths. Not all the parables in the Bible start off with the line, "And Jesus spoke this parable to them." Some parables are just analogies that Jesus uses right in the course of a conversation. We're not going to cover all 40 parables, but over the next few weeks and possibly months, we're going to cover many of the parables. I also anticipate the length of my sermons will decrease. Do I hear a praise the Lord? Except for this one. So let's get right to the first parable here this morning. The actual parable that we find in today's reading, we're going to find in verses 16 and 17. In this parable, Jesus talks about garments and patches. He talks about wineskins and he talks about wine. And somewhere in there is where the analogy lies. And to understand this particular parable better, we must understand more about garments and wineskins 2,000 years ago. So let's talk about that here a second, so we have a good foundation for what's going on. In those days, garments were made out of cotton or wool. And both cotton and wool, as most of you know, certain of you ladies would know, that if you wash them, they do what? Shrink. So the garments would shrink as you wash them. So let's say that you had an old robe that you wore, and it got a hole in it, and you wanted to sew a patch on it. Well, if you took a piece of brand new cloth and you sewed it over that patch, wherever that hole was, as soon as you washed that old robe, the new cloth would shrink and the old fibers would be ripped by the strength of the new cloth. What you would end up with would be this, a bigger hole, because the new piece that you sewed over top of it would shrink. So what would you do? You would patch an old robe with an old, already shrunken piece of material. Now let's talk about the wineskins. In those days, 2,000 years ago, for storing wine, they would take the skin of a large animal, shave the hair off of it, and turn it inside out. They would use the neck part of the animal as a spout for this wineskin. Then they would secure the hide by stitching all the other openings up. And then finally, once it was all stitched up, they would fill it with wine. When you filled a new wineskin with wine, it would stretch the wineskin. But once that wineskin had been emptied out, and it had been hung around with nothing in it, that wineskin would become very, very dry. And in the drying process, that wineskin would crack. So if you tried refilling that old wineskin back up with wine, the weight of the wine would break the cracks. It would break the cracks open, and you would lose all the wine. So what did you do? You always poured new wine into new wineskins. So that's a little bit of history about garments and about wineskins. And for the remainder of this message, I'm going to particularly focus on the wineskin part of it, although both analogies will work. So now that you understand about putting new patches on old garments, and now that we all understand about putting new wine and possibly bursting old wineskins, what kind of analogy or what's the parable that Jesus is trying to get across to us in verses 16 and 17? Great question. Glad you asked. To get a proper understanding of this particular parable, we have to read more of the text before it. There's a lot of times when you read a parable that to arrive at the correct interpretation of that parable, you have to read a lot of the text before it. We must know what Jesus was doing and what Jesus was saying beforehand. We must know who the audience was that led him to speak the parable. So let's back up a little bit, and I purposely did this to prove the point that in order for us to understand the parable in verses 16 and 17, we really need to go back as far as verse 9 and read what's going on. Now this morning I read 14 through 17. Let's back up a little bit, and I'm going to read 9 through 13. Now we'll get a better, clear understanding of why Jesus spoke what he spoke. So let me read 9 through 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now you might say, well, okay, I still don't quite grasp it. So give me a chance to explain a little bit more what those verses, how it all fits together. At that time, there was a religious establishment. It was made up of Pharisees and Sadducees and elders, chief priests and teachers of the law. And this group of people, these Jewish leaders, had established rules and regulations for holiness and rules and regulations for salvation. This group of Jewish leaders outwardly modeled these rules and regulations flawlessly. This group of Jewish leaders expected other Jews to outwardly model these rules and regulations in the same way that they did. But there was only one problem. All their rules and regulations were wrong. They were wrong. They missed the point. They really didn't get it. Their rules and regulations for holiness and salvation at that time, according to these Jewish leaders, were based on traditions of men rather than on the Word of God. That's what Jesus tells them in Matthew 15:6. Holiness and salvation had now become a matter of religious activities, rituals, and ceremony rather than mercy and the fruit of the Spirit. The leaders were far more concerned about fasting, as we read here, and more concerned about the company that you keep when you're dining. Their entire religious system was based strictly on an outward appearance. Keep that in mind. I'm going to take a small little tangent here. 11 days ago, on April the 3rd, I was asked to speak at a Wednesday night service at White Hill Church of the Brethren over in Stewart's Draft. After the service, one person came up to me and asked me this: "Why do you have such a passion for the truth?" And my answer was something like this. I said, "I have a passion for the truth because for many years I was caught up in ritual, I was caught up in religion, caught up in tradition for many, many years. And from a saving standpoint, this ritual and this religion and this tradition gets a person nowhere. So my passion, now that I'm out of that and I've seen the truth, my passion is to see people come out of that bondage," because that's exactly what it is, "and come out of that self-righteousness and allow the truth to set them free." That was my answer. 2 weeks ago, if you remember, if you were here on that Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, I talked about religion. It's Satan's ultimate deception, and most of the world falls for it. It's dangerous and it's deadly. But it looks so right on the outside, but yet it is so wrong in the eyes of God. And that is exactly what Jesus is talking about right here. So let's put all those things together and let me explain the analogy of what Jesus is trying to get through here. We'll talk about the wineskins and the wine. What Jesus brought to the world at that time, the new wine, was totally incompatible with the religious system of that time, the old wineskins. What Jesus brings to the world today, the new wine, is totally incompatible with most of the religious systems today. Still, the old wineskins. And what Jesus is saying is this: you can't mix the two together. It doesn't work. The new wine and the old wineskins are as different as night and day. And they have absolutely nothing in common with each other. In other words, you can't have Jesus and still cling on to your old religious system. Let me say that again, because that's pretty profound. You can't have Jesus and still cling on to your old religious system. If you want Jesus, you must forsake the old system, the old you, because you must put new wine into new wineskins. You can't put new wine into the old. It doesn't work. New wineskins. When you put new wine, Jesus, into new wineskins, you start thinking differently. You start acting differently. You start speaking differently. You have become a new wineskin because you want to hold the new wine. So, let's just ask this last final question. We'll fill in the three fill in the blanks in our bulletin. Just a little test. How do I know that I am a new wineskin? How do I know that I have truly forsaken the old so I can contain this new wine that Jesus has to offer? Our three fill in the blanks, and we'll get all three of those from our scripture reading here this morning from somewhere between verses 9 through 17. If you're a new wineskin, you follow the Lord. Each one of these will begin with the letter F and then the letter L. You follow the Lord. What does Matthew do in verse number 9? Jesus goes up to him and simply says, "Follow me." And what does Matthew do? He gets up and he follows him. You follow Christ. You don't follow a person. You don't follow a pastor. You don't follow the Pope. You don't follow some charismatic TV evangelist. You follow Christ. And that's what Matthew did. And that is what a new wineskin does. One, you follow the Lord. Two, you feed the lost. You feed the lost. What does Matthew do in verse number 10, the next verse? He holds a dinner and he brings all his sinner friends and he brings all his tax collector friends. And then he brings Jesus to make sure that his sinner friends and his tax collector friends hears what he heard, because he wants them to have what he has. He wants them to hear the words of Jesus as he has heard the word of Jesus. You feed the lost. And that is what Matthew did. And that is what a new wineskin does. You follow the Lord. You feed the lost. And then the third one, you forsake legalism. You forsake legalism. Legalism is doing all those outward things, all the things that the Jewish people were doing, and you make sure that you did them to a T, and you had really no idea why you were doing them. What does Jesus say in verse number 17? He says this: you put new wine into new wineskins. You don't stick with what you once knew. You don't bring the old into the new. You don't keep your traditions. You don't keep your rituals. You don't keep your ceremony. And you don't keep your religion. And you don't keep any of that hanging around any longer. You are transformed by the renewing of your mind, says Romans 12:2. You are a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, and the new has come, says 2 Corinthians 5:17. You totally forsake this old system. That is what a new wineskin does. I'm going to read to you just, we'll end with this, just a little bit out of the book of Philippians. Paul had this issue. And in Philippians chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 4 through 9. Here's what Paul thought about old wineskins and new wine, because he was certainly one who knew this, how this worked. He doesn't use the terms wine or wineskins, but listen to what Paul says. Starting in Philippians 3, verse 4. If anyone thinks he has the reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. He gives a list of his credentials. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I am of the people of Israel. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, I am a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. I'll just stop right there. I'm going to read a little bit more. Paul knew that all the things that constituted an old wineskin, he was really, really good at doing. But what does he find out? Let me carry on. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. New wine, old wineskins, they just are not compatible. If you're going to take a taste of the new wine and do it right, you got to put it into new wineskins. That means that some things about your old belief system have to go, because there's just no compatibility between the two of them. Well, that's our first parable. We're going to go through a whole lot more over the next couple weeks, months. But I know this, the series on parables is going to be an exciting one. So let's go to God in prayer.